I think we'll go ahead and get started. There's a few folks still rambling in, but let's just go ahead and get going so we can get through this. Be timely. I think the president has a few things to say. Is he here? Is Nick here yet? Can you guys hear me? Okay. Is the past president here yet? He wanted to. Okay. Well, maybe we'll just keep going then. We'll get back to that. We always try to give it a review of the leadership and where things are at. Our past chairs, of course, John Lamb and Alan Blaylock will be moving on to other things. But we really appreciate all they've done. So if you just join me in giving them a hand for all everything we've done in the past 3 years. Then, of course, Ann and I were busy with this, and I just really, really appreciate Ann. She was like the mom, you know, just the maintenance person, just always make sure things were on time, and I really appreciate that, Ann. So please join me in recognizing her. And then our incoming chairs, Antonio Malamino. Are you out there, Antonio? I don't see him, but y'all know where Antonio is. If you see him, he's the man. So for S4, this coming year, so if you got ideas, pass those on to Antonio for symposia, topical sessions, those kinds of things. And then Frank Secor is going to be our S8 person this coming year. Is Frank out there? Please stand up. Thank you, Frank. Okay, and then our incoming chair-elects for 2013 will be Kevin Bronson and Bob Miller. I thought I saw Bob. There's Bob. Please stand up, Bob. And Kevin, are you out there? Not yet. Okay. So anyways, thank you, Bob. Our chair nominees for S4 are Halen Zhang and Peter Sharp. Peter and Halen, are you out there? I don't see him, but there are nominees. There are folks that are going to run for this next time. And then Greg Binford, are you out there, Greg? He's not here, that's right. He told me he couldn't be here. And Robert Mullen. Is Robert out there? Yes, very good. Okay. So they're running this next time. And if you guys have names for the upcoming election after this, please pass those on to Antonio and Frank, or Ann and I, and we'll make sure they get into the nomination pool for the nomination committee to look at. Okay, we also had S4 board rep nominees for this year, and they are Miguel Cabrera and Dave Franson. And is Dave and Miguel out there? There's Dave. Please stand up, Dave. Okay. And they're running for our S4 board rep. And I've seen Miguel around, but I don't see him here today. So, okay, we're moving through this quickly. Now, we're going to have John Kovar talk to us a little about reorganization. And I did have the student awards, but I think I got this a little bit out of order with this version of the thing, but that's okay. So I think I'll have you guys talk about reorganization just for a few minutes here. And you're up, John.
All right. Did Tom Fox make it in here? Tom, are you in here somewhere? Oh, he's the chair of the task force. And so how many people in here went to the town hall meeting Sunday? Anybody go? Okay, we have a few hands. So if you went to that town hall meeting, this is kind of a rerun of what you saw at that meeting. I have several slides here, and hopefully this is going to work. There we go. Okay, back at the end of the last year, several of us, and I have a list of those names of people later on, were asked to serve on a task force for the SSSA, and so we began meeting at the beginning of the year. I think we had a conference call back in February. That was our first meeting. And we had several charges here, and you can see those listed up here. So evaluate the current governing structure of the society. So what's there? Gather feedback from the members on their degree of satisfaction with this current structure and maybe a desire to reorganize. I think some of this came out of the fact that the ASA just reorganized, and so there were some rumblings that maybe the SSSA should do the same thing. And then to determine if the structure should be changed, and if so, identify alternative governing and organizational options. So, and then the fourth one would be to provide a recommendation to the SSSA Board of Directors by March of next year. So this was our charge. As I said, we met via teleconference several times, but starting in February. There was a meeting as well in July in Madison where all of us got together and we could actually see each other face to face for the first time. So what's come out here of, first of all, our member survey to find out what people thought of the organization and how it was functioning. Some of the points that were brought up, and I guess I can read through some of these, and you can read them just as well as I can. Improved communication. So a lot of people didn't know what was going on well enough in the organization to really say how it should be changed. So they thought improved communications were very important. Many of the people wanted to preserve the links to agriculture and expand the links to environmental aspects of soil science. So there are various groups out there that have ideas of how we could reorganize the society. Increased interaction among disciplines. So whether that's just among ourselves and the various disciplines we have, or if we want to go outside to other groups and interact with them as well. That people thought that was important. About half of the respondents agreed that some reorganization of the current division structure would be beneficial, and only 14% thought that, from the survey anyway, that we shouldn't do anything, that we're fine just the way we are. Now, I will say that respondents, we had just over 1,000 people out of 5,000 and some members. So we had about a 20% response to the survey. Now, I'm not a survey person. I understand that's pretty good, but I don't know. I would have liked to seen at least half the people respond, but I guess that's not always possible. 69% of the respondents, so almost 70%, value their current divisions and feel that their division is their professional home. So all of us in here with our S4, S8 group, we feel that these divisions serve us quite well. The last point is what really surprised me, and I think Tom mentioned this as well the other night. 50% of the members, so of the 5,729 members, 50% of these members are not affiliated with any division at all. And so they may not be served by the current division structure. Now, why that is, we really don't know. Whether the people just decided they didn't want to be in a specific division, they're happy with that, or they didn't know where to go, or didn't know exactly what the divisions did. So we didn't delve into that too much. A few other results, so I have these two slides only of the results, and you can get more information. I've got a website I'll show here shortly where you can download all the results if you want to look at them. People want to strengthen ties to other societies. So AGU was mentioned, American Geophysical Union. We just had a meeting with the GSA, 2 years ago? And so people like that sort of thing. Increase organizational flexibility, more quickly respond to emerging issues. So I think this is the path that the ASA has gone down and with their communities within sections. So the communities can come and go. If there's a hot topic, people want to get together and form a community, they can do that. And I think this sort of came out of that, that we need to respond more quickly. The way it stands, if you want to create a new division, it takes several years to actually get that done. So if there are a group of people that want to create a new division, it's really kind of a cumbersome process. Develop programs better serve the needs of practicing professionals. I think this has been announced already, but there is a new division within the SSSA S12, which is specifically built for the needs of professional soil scientists, practicing professionals. So that's actually come about now. The educational programs for K-12, for undergrads and grad students, and the public itself, we need to improve our programs for those people. I guess some of that you could consider better communication from the society as part of that. And finally, improve mentoring of students and early career members. So the people who are here that have just joined are new to either the profession or else are about to join the profession. We need to improve mentoring of these people to keep them in the society. So as I said, there's a website, soils.org/reorganization, where you can go and view the complete results if you want to see exactly what people said. Now for the options, and again, I'm going to say this up front, and I'll say it again in the slides. Nothing has been decided. We have not had any pronouncements from on high, from the president or anyone else on the boards of what we need to do. So this is just something that we've come up with as a task force, and so I'll throw some of these out. Five of these things are listed here, and I've got some more detail on them here in the next couple of slides. So first of all, just maintaining the divisional structure as it stands, essentially doing nothing to what we have now. Revise the division, so change, maybe add new divisions, combine divisions, do something of that nature. That's certainly an option. Create broad subject groups and realign the divisions. To me, I don't know if any of you are involved with the IUSS, the International Union of Soil Sciences. They have these commissions and then work groups and sub-work groups within them. And to me, this third one sort of sounds like what they do. The fourth option would be to go to the section and community structure that the ASA has right now. From the comments I've received over the last few days and from what we got on the website, people are kind of taking a wait-and-see attitude with that. We're not sure how this is all going to work. There is some confusion how that's working, and it is new. So we might have to give that a couple of years if we go to that particular structure. And then, of course, there are other options that maybe we didn't think of. So we're open to all these ideas. For option one, of course, this is what we have now. So everybody knows that structure. And again, S12 is in there now for the consulting, our professional consulting soil scientists. So that's a new division. Here's an example of what we thought could go into a revision of the existing division structure. And again, there's nothing here that no one told us to do this. This is just something we looked at as a group and came up with some of these ideas. And so we don't have any mechanism for how this would all work. If we're going to combine divisions or create new ones, how that would work, we're not sure of that. But this is just something that's there. Third one then, again, we have these broad subject groups and then the divisions aligned underneath each of these subject groups. And so this is sort of, again, like the IUSS has right now. And then fourth would be the section and community structure, and we threw out these various sections that could be created. And communities, of course, could be anything underneath all of these various sections. And then last would be the fifth option that we don't know what that is. So if anyone has any good ideas, you can throw that out. So nothing has been decided. And we need input from everybody that we can get. So I've been poking people at mixers and other places and saying, hey, what do you think? I'm wearing this button that says, ask me about it. We have a table set up down by the registration tables that you can come and write on our board. We have people there to answer questions once in a while. Sometimes they aren't. So if you want to be anonymous, just come and write something, stick it on the board, and that would be great as well. For input also, we have the task force website that you can go. And again, as I said, the table and registration, and you are attending the business meeting, so here we go. Our talk to one of the people that are running around with these buttons on. There are 12 of us, 11 of us, something like that. These are all the task force members. I think two or three of the people are not here. If you go to other business meetings, you'll see one of us there. As I said, Tom Fox is our chair, and so he's sort of leading this charge. And I think, that's it. Very good. Thank you for your time. Oh, by the way, I have these handouts are downstairs on the table, but I'll leave a few by the door or up here somewhere, and you can grab them. These describe the process, and basically what I just said with all these slides is written down here, so you can read through it slowly. Yes, question?
Yes, I was curious, John, how many of the folks that went to staff, 50% of the folks that are soil science don't necessarily have a home?
Mm-hmm. That I don't know. I think that metric is there in the survey itself, but I don't know that off the top of my head. Any other comments or questions?
I don't remember the exact numbers, but certainly not half of the membership is not.
No, they're not. That's right. Half the membership is not. I think there are just a number of people that, for whatever reason, aren't associated with a division. One thing that... Susan Chapman maybe told me this, that she's involved with running the societies. running the society, she said that if you just go online to re-register or to pay your annual membership fees, you just pay them, and there's no questionnaire about which divisions you want to be associated with. It's just a number up there of what you owe if you're an active member or student member or what. And so you really, they don't have that capability just now, but they're working on that so that you will have to answer those questions if you register or renew or register online. So, yes? Okay. Very good. Thank you. All right. Well, I'll be around here. So if you have any questions, you can talk to. And I have these handouts here. They'll be up here. Thank you.
Well, Tom's not able to be here, so you're going to have to put up with my abridged Kentucky accent that... last year when I was president of the Kiwanis Club where I live, I got fined almost every week and made fun of about this accent. So anyway, so you're going to have to listen to it for a few minutes. The talking points are few. There's not very many that they gave us to talk about. The first one that I'm supposed to do is request feedback on the 4x4 versus the 4x8 poster size. If you notice this year compared to last year, you're restricted to a 4x4. I'm not sure exactly what to do other than get a show of hands. Would be the easiest? How many like the 4x4? Okay, now let's go the other way. Who would prefer the 4x8? Okay, so it looks like the majority was 4x8. Would everybody agree with what they looked around? Okay. So I'll say that the majority, yes?
I just wanted to comment that I personally wouldn't mind 4x4 if they're up all week long.
Okay. Yeah, and that might influence the little quick hand count we just did too. So there's a comment. Yeah, the 4x8 does incur a little bit more cost. I mean, there is a cost savings by going to the 4x4 and putting two people on there. But, you know, it's not that we can't do it. It's just that, you know, they made the decision based on economics without really thinking about it. And then I think there's been some people that's been concerned about the size of the poster. So, yes. Okay. Right. Basically, what you're saying is the left side of the boards are, you know, 2 to 4, and then the right side of the boards are 4 to 6, and then those authors are never conflicting and doing that. So, do we need to revisit the vote, or are we still? Is everybody still majorly in favor of the 4x8s if it's not too awful expensive, or would you rather save the money and do the 4x4s? I can take back just that it's a mixed poll. And
Dan, at the risk of being a malcontent here, we discussed this last year at the business meeting, and it was overwhelmingly decided by this group that the 4x8 would prefer, even
Okay. And I think I remember that now that you mention it. But actually, that decision got made in the by the planning committee that started doing that, and so the board actually kind of found out about it, and several of the members on the board were not necessarily happy with that. But it was kind of snowballed, already started, and it was too late to change that around. So basically, I'll say that the majority prefers the 4x8. But the 4x4 might could work a little better if management was done a little better. So.
Do you have what the relative cost is for a poster versus an oral presentation?
No. I'm not on the BNF committee, so.
My guess is a lot cheaper for any poster compared to 15 minutes. So if you want to have equity, they should look at what it costs to do the orals.
All right.
Something related to these, we had a discussion this morning in the program committee. You were there. That some people are seeing that the importance of the posters, number of people that circulate is coming down over the last 2-3 years. And so what I heard yesterday was that this is another notch in terms of bringing the importance of posters down. Several people that I like one half or two-thirds, they said next year I'm going to go over, I'm going to have a poster. And then we heard a lot this morning some of the problems about space and room and the Sunday sessions and all the things that we were talking about. So I wonder if there are any ideas there. You know, of course, it was suggested to us that it was up to us to suggest different ideas about posters. There were comments about getting them the round thing, having some discussion, having some a very short oral thing where an author can say, in 2 minutes what the poster would be about. All kind of things were discussed this morning. So it's not just the size. Something is going on with the posters. And what I see is that this size and other things is discouraging people to present posters. So if this continues, next year we've got a serious problem with the space and overlapping of things.
Okay. I'll try to convey that at the board meeting. Any other comments about the posters? Size? Management? Okay. Have a little blurb about the membership update. The number that I have in front of me is that as of August 31st, the membership was at nearly 6,200. That's very, very close to last year. It doesn't match the 5,700 we saw up here a minute ago, but it's down slightly. But since there was 4 months to go, and you pick up a few memberships around meeting time and stuff, they were, according to this, they're anticipating that there probably won't be much difference in the membership for this year compared to last year. Any questions about the membership? I kind of summarized this paragraph rather than read it. Okay. The next thing is the budget. The 2012 budget that they're projecting is a break-even budget. The 2011 was projected, it was planned as a loss because of the 75th, activities. Things that hopefully most of you will be going to tonight and stuff. So, the other things they wanted to mention me to mention to you is that some of the new budget initiatives include things like providing a reduced annual meeting registration rate for early career members. That's still subject to approval by A&C because we do it all together there. $10,000 additional support for a total of $25,000 to support the Golden Opportunity Scholars Program. $20,000 additional funds for marketing the newly developed public service announcements. And $10,000 earmarked to the Executive Committee and the board to allow for discretionary spending on special initiatives in support of the strategic plan. So I don't know what that would be at this point, but those are the things that I have in front of me. So any questions about those budget items? If you were at, I think at the town hall, Gary Przinski mentioned that, you know, the society was in pretty good shape. So I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I could get those if you ever was interested. Another point is that SSSA has signed a memorandum of understanding with American Geophysical Union, AGU, addressing joint activities to foster exchange and scientific research and promote scientific opportunities for members. I do have a copy of that if anybody's interested in seeing what it looks like. I didn't bring that. The other topics I have is reorganization, which John's already done, candidates, which Merle's already done, and so if you have any other further questions about anything from the board, I'll take those now. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Dan's going off here in another year, so not this year, it's next year?
Yeah.
Next year. Trying to get rid of him too quick.
Okay,
that's right. For one more year for Dan, but he's done a really good job.
Okay.
So a list of topical sessions. I know that you guys, if there's anything that's just burning that you'd like to share about new ideas for next year, I wouldn't mind getting some of that even now. And I'll just handwrite it down. But is there anything that's just burning that you feel like really should be covered that wasn't covered this year? Nothing. Okay. Well, we'll be sending out emails to try to get your brain juices going on that. That usually happens this way. Any comments on topical sessions for this last year? No. Symposium titles, any ideas for new symposia for this coming year? No, it's drawing a blank. It's okay. People are tired. We'll get some ideas out to you through email and try to get this going. We had, I think last night's Walsh lecture was just wonderful. I thought it was really fantastic. Hopefully we'll be able to do that again. So any ideas for that? If you'd be thinking about that also, that's most of you attended that, correct? How many attended the Walsh lecture? Pretty good showing of hands there. But I thought it was really good, and I just hope we can do that again. So be thinking about that as well. And I think we'll go to graduate student competition and the poster winners. If John and Alan would come up and talk about that.
Okay, I'd like to make a few general comments about this competition because I think it's a great event, and one of the challenges we have is that this competition has grown very rapidly, and this year in particular, in the oral session, we had a maximum number of papers that we could fit in a day. And that places a burden on somebody who has to judge these. And so here's the list of those who judged the student oral competition. And they had to be in this session all day and listen to 29, I think there's 28 student presentations. And so that's a really big commitment. Now, I thought they were pretty good sessions myself. I was there for a good part of the day, and I thought there were some excellent papers, and they were good sessions. And I think what this illustrates is that, one, we have an increasing number of students that are interested in participating, but also the feedback that I got from the judges was that there were a lot of really good presentations. So hopefully that's a signal of the future for our division, that we're drawing more students, hopefully, and the quality of those students seemingly is increasing as well, because there really were some very good papers. So I would really like to give our judges a heartfelt thanks, because it is a very big commitment. All right, so now, I guess since I'm here, we'll do this in reverse numerical order, and we'll do the essay oral competition first. So these are our winners, Laura Bast, Michigan State. Laura, are you here? Oh, okay, so she's got an excuse. First place. Now, I'll also add that Laura finished second last year. So, you know, there's some real quality here in these. Upton Siddons, or Siddons, you here? Congratulations, second place. Amanda Leash, did I say that right? Amanda, are you here? Okay, I hope she's at a poster too. Caitlin Congreves. Congratulations, Caitlin. Good job. And Ken Hubbard, Mississippi State. Ken, there you are, right up front here. Congratulations. So again, we really appreciate the participation of everyone in this, and especially our students who are doing such fine work, and really, I think, is a rewarding experience for you also. Thank you. Yes. Oh, yes, yeah, sorry. These awards include some money. So the check will be sent to you in the mail. Thanks.
Check's in the mail, right?
From the government. Okay. As you know, we flip-flop which division takes the charge on the posters versus the orals. And so this year, S8 got the oral, and S4 got the posters. Again, I got to say a lot of the same things Alan said. In last year, we had 19 posters in the contest. This year, we had 32. And one of the things that we strictly enforced was that we didn't have any double dippers. So those are individual. And I have to say, things are looking up. Enough for the editorials, right? Now, so I had to go see how many people were real good friends or owed me a lot to do this judging, because looking at 32 posters, I don't know about you guys, but when I get into the poster session, I have a little HDD squirrel, you know, and it's gone. So we had to focus down here. And so when I sent the email out, I didn't say how many posters there were when I went fishing. And then I informed them later. But I thank you guys. We've got Dan Kaiser from the University of Minnesota, Fabian Fernandez from the University of Illinois, Matt Ruark. I'm sorry, I got you in the wrong place, Matt. He's from the University of Wisconsin. They know how to play football. And I had one fellow that Delta did a number on him, and he didn't get here on time, so I filled in for the other. So, okay, I didn't get all of the numbers down. First of all, the posters, we had some really good posters. And I would hate to have had my poster sitting beside some of these posters. The quality was excellent. The first place, you from the North Central region know that I don't pronounce names very well. Kadalia? Are you here? Thank you. Okay, second place is Antonio Acevedo. Is it even close? In Kansas State? Okay, third is Emily Duncan from Pennsylvania State University. And we had a tie for fourth place. Rajid Prasad from the University of Florida and Astigan Pagalani. I'm close. Antonio, I'm sorry, from Iowa State. So, either one of you here? Good. So, I think something for the members to keep in mind. We're asking a lot of the judges to do this. We want to encourage the students to keep at it. If there are suggestions on how we can operate this contest, both the oral and the poster, more efficiently, we're really open to any suggestions. And I think it's something we will have to change because it's too much of a load for four or five people to do.
I think to add to that, one of the things that that Merle and Ann and John and I have been discussing is that if this continues to grow, what do we do with all of these papers? Now, posters may be a little easier to deal with, but we can't really expand the contest beyond one day. It's already a big contest, and so if you have ideas as to how we might approach this, do we go to some kind of pre-screening evaluation? Do we just do first come, first serve? The first, you know, 25 that register their paper get in, and those that aren't first don't get in. Don't know, but we're looking for suggestions as to how to deal with an increasing number. It's great, but what do we do with it? A couple of hands back here. Why? Okay, question about suggestion to submit the posters ahead of time and judge them ahead of time. That would certainly be an option with the posters. Wayne? So the suggestion to break them out by subject matter. Now keep in mind that these are all S4, S8 posters. And we did have a few that didn't really fit our divisions that we transferred out of the competition because they didn't fit the subject matter. And maybe we could do a little more screening on that basis also. Charles? Presentations could be shorter than the normal and fit more in a day.
One group, I believe they pre-screened down to 20, the poster, and then only those presented.
So some kind of pre-screening, pre-judging, pick the top 20 or whatever that number may be. Yeah.
What would be the split between PhD and master's if you split them out that way?
No idea there, and we don't. That's not something that appears on the registration. I suppose we could ask for that in the submission to the contest and split them out by degree level. That's a potential option. What it would do is mean that we would probably have to double the number of judges that we have if we have separate contests going on. So that creates a greater burden on you, the members, to judge those papers. But certainly an option, and I think there was one other hand over here, and then we probably ought to wrap it up.
I was just going to mention with pre-screening, is it, when you judge a paper, is it based on how it looks, or how well it's presented?
Yeah, so the comment is, so if we pre-screen, are we judging on what it looks like or how it's presented? And obviously for an oral paper, the presentation is a big part of the score. And how you handle that presentation. It's not just the quality of the slides, it's how you present them also. So that's a big part of it. There's 10 items on which the contestant is judged in that, so it really covers a broad range of things. So I think with that, if you have other comments, get them to Ann and Merle. Will be in charge of the contest next year, so forward your comments to them certainly. And I guess the only other thing I'd like to add is that the contest, at least in my section, was really, really close. The top 7 or 8 presentations were separated by 13 points out of a possible 250. So that it's really tough to judge these when there's so many good quality papers. So again, thanks to everybody that participated, and good luck.
We got one more set of awards with IPNI, and Tom's going to do that for us.
Well, Ann and Merle, I want to thank you for the opportunity. It's a real privilege to be able to present the International Plant Nutrition Institute Scholar Award here. What I'm presenting to you here are the five winners for the North America part of the competition. We offer this award globally in six of our different working regions, and these five individuals were chosen by the committee from a list. Typically this award is given to we would normally receive about 20 to 30 applicants in a typical year. This year we had 50. We were both pleased and a little overwhelmed on the selection committee. What the award is for, we ask students for two things. They're normal academic credentials in terms of grades and performance and community service, etc. And we also ask them to relate their research topic to IPNI's mission, which is advancing science, in a nutshell, for responsible management of plant nutrition. And they can come from any division, division of ASA, they can come from any discipline of science, ecology, genomics, you'll see a wide range. So, without any further ado, I'll ask the winners who are present among these five names. The winners for North America are Ronald Navaretkamchozil from Purdue University, and he's working on soil potassium bioavailability. Jared Crane, Oklahoma State University, Sensor for Nitrogen Management is basically what he's working on. I'll ask each of these to come forward and as I'm speaking, and then we'll take a group photo here, and I'll give you the award. Tyler Nygon from University of Minnesota, and he's working on imagery for nitrogen status within a crop field. Cameron Petelko from UC Davis, nitrogen and greenhouse gas emissions. And Josh Cobb from Cornell University, working on genome-wide association mapping. I'll be giving him the prize is here, a certificate, a check that's not in the mail for $2,000, and recognition in our Better Crops magazine, and of course, not to mention recognition at this auspicious business meeting of S4S8. So join me with a round of applause for these candidates.
Revisit the idea of symposium for next year because you had a little bit of time to think about that. And we also have our president, past president here. Did you?
Past president.
Past president. Did you want to say something?
Please.
Mm-hmm. And I need you, Ann.
It's a pleasure to have this opportunity. It's also a real pleasure to see young people receiving awards. I was in the S7 division yesterday doing something similar, and somebody got up and asked all the graduate students in the room to indicate what's the story behind them joining soil science. You would have been very much impressed. The reasons that people are going into soils these days, are the right reasons. I think I said it was the same reasons we went in that we always used in the 60s, that those of us that can still remember some fashion of the 60s. But I think we've gone back to people getting into this field for some very good reasons. But one of the good reasons that I have, one of the good things I get to do as being the past president and having a chance to visit these business meetings, is to tell you that, you know, our work here is a function of volunteerism for the most part. You're very well represented on the board by the two board members that are here. You should be proud of them. But if one thing that also makes this meeting probably the most important thing that our membership wants us to do is the planning of the meeting and making it go smoothly. And of course, our division chairmen are the key to getting that done, to getting the topics in and organizing the entire thing. And so the society likes to recognize that level of volunteerism, particularly when it's so aptly expressed. I don't think we'll go through the emails that we that we went through earlier, but what I'd like to do is read a certificate, and there is no $2,000 check attached, nor in the mail. But it's that the Soil Science Society of America recognizes with gratitude Marilyn Ann for dedication and service as the 2011 S4-S8 Soil Fertility Plant Nutrition Division Chair and Nutrient Management and Soil and Plant Analysis Division Chair. Without this kind of volunteerism, without the amount of effort they put in, and particularly the amount of grief that they take throughout the year, these kind of meetings would be very difficult to pull off. And I think if you look at what's been going on in the society, and I hope our board members will back me up on this, is that everything looks very positive on the society end, not only financially, but procedurally and scientifically. I think I'm leaving after 3 years in the presidential realm, and I leave very pleased with what I see going on into the future. And you leave it to Rob and everybody here to see that goes forward. But we have really a nice future, I think, ahead of us. And if you don't believe it, talk to these young folks that you just gave the awards to and your young graduate students. You can only be impressed with the quality that's coming up. So thank you, Merrill.
Very nice, but I do want to get back to symposium talk and stuff. We have a little bit of time left, so if there's any ideas out there, all this brain power, no ideas, I can't believe it. Not a one. All right. Okay. Well, we'll tease your brains here in the next few weeks. With that, we're done. We're adjourned.